Hey folks, here at OS Reviews. You're watching our retro review of the Samsung Armani. This is a fashion phone that was released around the same time as the original iPhone 2G and the LG Prada, which this is a direct competitor to. So this is way back in 2006 and 2007. It has a very petite form factor, around the same size as a credit card from the front, and also retains a pretty thin portfolio. But then again, this is not a fully fledged smartphone. It doesn't have Wi-Fi, so it has very limited functionality, although it does have Bluetooth on board. Construction quality is also top-notch, as you would expect from such an expensive piece of hardware. It includes some brushed aluminum, which has this golden tint. It's part of the design philosophy of Armani at the time, and there's also some rubber accents, which makes the phone pretty easy to grip and hold. You'll find access on the front to a 2.6-inch TFT LCD capacitive touchscreen, which was kind of rare at the time because most phones still use those plasticky resistive screens, so this was definitely a step in the right direction, and it still uses a proprietary Samsung TouchWiz-like interface that was in the very early stages, way before they...
Indeed, this is a very small screen, and about the same size, in fact, as the HP Veer 4G, but the Veer 4G is even smaller if I'm looking at it head-on, because the bezels are reduced. But otherwise, the Armani phone does have two talk and end keys. The end key also dubs as a power key. They're pretty tactile and responsive. The bottom features a lock mechanism for the battery compartment on the back, which is made out of aluminum. And the side also features a micro SD card for expanding the memory for listening to music and media. The other side features a proprietary Samsung charging and syncing port, which also dubs as the headphone port. You need to use that adapter, so there isn't a 3.5mm jack built in, although you could use stereo Bluetooth. There's also a dedicated camera shutter key, as well as a hold switch to lock the touchscreen into place. And the back features the aforementioned 3.2 megapixel autofocus enabled camera with an LED flash, but no vanity mirror and a rather discreet Samsung logo. Behind the battery door, there's an 880 milliamp hour battery, which might seem extremely small, but then again, keep in mind this is not a smartphone, and also the phone itself has a small screen, so that battery actually lasts for about 2 to 3 days before you need to recharge it. And there's also that full-sized SIM card slot. Turning things on, you can see that we have an interesting UI that kind of matches the tone of the entire phone, which is kind of these browns and deep golds, kind of the signature of Armani design. And the same thing goes on here. We have this checkerboard-like pattern, and if I press on the center there, it brings up a quick launch shortcut into mail, into your music, your contacts, as well as your dialer pad. The screen itself is pretty responsive just because it is using capacitive technology, just like the iPhone, just like modern-day Android smartphones. But the interface here has not been super optimized for touch yet, and I'll show you that later on in a moment in some of those apps. We have a calendar down below here as a widget or a quick launch shortcut that you can access to look at the time and date. Top here features some basic info about the battery status, your reception status as well. Finally, on the very top here, we have three quick launch buttons, which takes you into the ringer status from silent to loud. There's also a main menu key as well as a dialer pad key. Taking a look at the dialer pad first, again, it's been hyper-stylized to match the overall visual appeal of the phone. Pretty sensitive, pretty large keys, and easy to press. When it comes to call quality, the Armani is actually pretty good. It received roughly 3 to 4 bars consistently in the Seattle region when using AT&T as well as T-Mobile SIM cards. Overall, the call quality was pretty good, even though in noisier environments it got not as great results, just because there's only one microphone on here, so there isn't noise cancellation with the microphones built in. But the actual earpiece is loud and clear, and the built-in speaker is also fairly good at projecting callers' voices at the same time. So decent audio quality from the actual phone function part. Taking a look next at the main menu, again, we have this interesting interface that's been custom tuned for the phone here, and you can slide your finger along the sides to access the various features. You can see there's definitely a bit of lag here, but still a pretty interesting overall look. So if we go to applications, again, this is kind of running a proprietary operating system designed by Samsung, probably based off Java or something like that. And you can see there is a bit of kinetic scrolling depending on what menus you go in, but it's not completely consistent. In terms of games, there's a few very basic ones. You can download a few more using Samsung Suite. Again, it looks like it is indeed just running Java, so that should be pretty easy to find other games from the web to download here. This is just a very simple photo puzzle that you want to realign the puzzle so that it matches up correctly. I can choose certain themes, I can load a certain image, and when I'm ready, I can just play the game. It's gonna time me as well. So let us begin. This is what it's supposed to look like. And now it's gonna be shuffled, and I can tap two tiles to kind of swap them back and forth. The caliber of the games, I would say, pretty similar to other modern-day entry-level LG phones you might see, like the LG 840G or something like, back in the day, the LG Prada, which was a competitor. But then again, the Prada, I think, was a bit more stylish. It had a larger display. Maybe it was geared a bit more for women, and the Armani is more geared for men, but again, the size of this thing is a lot smaller, so it's a bit more of an odd choice, even though it's very pocketable and slim. There is a world clock on here that you can take a look at and explore, I guess, more options. Image stamp for the camera on here. There's a converter, a timer, a stopwatch, and a quick memo pad as well. Speaking of, if I wanted to create a new memo, we can see that the keyboard just uses a T9 layout. There is an accelerometer, so you can't rotate the screen, unfortunately, and there isn't that QWERTY layout for a more comfortable typing experience, so that was a bit crippling. And there are virtual keys on the bottom, as you can see there, instead of being on screen, so that makes the interface seem a bit more streamlined. So that's applications. There's an alarm clock on here, settings for more advanced things like the SIM settings and so on and so forth. Bluetooth mode. Let's take a look at the camera next. At 3.2 megapixels, obviously it's not the most high-res camera in the world, but surprisingly Samsung actually built in quite a few features. As usual, they stuck with a pretty advanced interface in general, so you can play around with each of the individual things like ISO settings, exposure settings, the resolution if you want to play around with that. There isn't a front-facing camera, so no video conferencing. There's also flash settings to turn that on or off. Focusing settings, timer settings down below here, as you can see. So quite a few things are going on. Let's take a picture of the HP Veer. Looks like the depth of field is also decent. So overall, with all of these different modes that you can go through and check out, the camera here isn't that bad. And at the time, it actually was one of the better 3-megapixel cameras that we tested. So images still remain pretty sharp, and colors are actually relatively natural looking. So not that shabby, and again, it shows that megapixels don't determine the entire picture or the entire quality of the picture, and there's a lot of other components that goes into how to judge a quality camera. Next, going back into the settings, we have a very basic, I guess, version of the web, but this is not a full HTML browser, so you don't get the desktop version of sites like New York Times or YouTube. Instead, you can check some basic news and maybe some Twitter feeds, but that's basically the extent of this browser. It's not advanced at all, and it's quite slow and sluggish over 2G networks. No Wi-Fi again, so nothing to write home about. There is a SMS text messaging that you can create new messages, also create a new email if you want to do that. But it, once again, it uses this interface or a keyboard that is T9 as opposed to QWERTY, which makes text entry a bit slower in general. File manager is on here as well, which is a nice feature to have. Finally, we have access to a music player, which is kind of interesting because it has a bit of customization on here. It sorts your music by artists, genres, composers, and playlists, as well as your recently played. And if I look at all my music on here, tap on this again, that might be a quick recording. The interface here is pretty streamlined, and one of the things I wanted to show is when you're playing a song, you can shuffle through it by dragging along the bar vertically. You can kind of see the time. And I can also change the volume here as well by directly stretching it up or down. So I have the ability to change volume as well as the track's position just by sliding this virtual controller. So it goes, again, with that entire grid interface that's kind of cohesive and unique looking. Of course, you can also use the volume rocker to change the volume if you don't want to use that virtual slider. Finally, there is your contacts list or your phone book, and again, we're just back into the call log as well as the dialer. So that's basically all the features on here. Again, it's a very basic device because it's not meant for smartphone users. It has a few extras on here like games, security options, connectivity options that you can go through, and you can always drag and drop more Java applications like games or maybe a Google Maps Java edition if you want to run that on this, even though the internet connectivity speeds will be quite low. So again, the Armani phone was never meant again to be a smartphone, but it was a relatively decent messaging multimedia handset that really emphasized style, as well as having a capacitive screen at the time as opposed to resistive. In 2016, there are much better options available. Even if you're looking for a basic phone, I think that this one with its proprietary connectors and relatively high price point, even 2016, doesn't make it a very smart, I guess, choice to pick up. However, call quality is still excellent, and the P520 still remains an extremely compact and small phone, about the same size as a wallet, credit card, and comparable again to other tiny phones on the market. So if you do like that, this is a very petite and I guess attractive looking option with a very high emphasis on style. To learn more information about the Samsung Armani, you can check out our official written review. This has been our retro look back review. Thanks for watching here at OS Reviews.